You're listening to another football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns with Banker Bill.
Ryan, you should get off the internet.
And your guy, Bully Rye.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
We're live, pal. Welcome, everybody, to another live football episode. Tap outs and touchdowns, as always, it's your guy, Bully Rye. And sitting to my proverbial right is Banker Bill. Bill, what's going on, bud?
What's going on, man? Football talk time. Let's do this.
Yeah, it's I'm trying to get some to see if the Facebook feed is working, because it's not pulling up for me. Anyway, if you're watching the show live, YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns.
It's X, YouTube, not Twitter.
Sorry, X. X at tapouts and TDs. And then the YouTube channel, just search for Tap Outs and Touchdowns. Bill, we're changing the format this week, Bill.
Yes.
We know that we have kept you guys late the last few weeks, and we are going to do what we can
very bad
to try to give you guys some of your time back. Nevertheless, let's get right into the show here and talk some college football. We have our first comment, Volley Polly over on YouTube. Evening to Volley Polly. We got a question we're going to answer for him later on in the show. In a change of format, we're not going to do a whole lot of talking about college football this week, but let's go ahead and get into college football week 9. Some teams lost that probably shouldn't have. Some teams won that probably should. Teams won that probably shouldn't have. But the biggest news coming out of college football this week comes out of the college football playoff ranking, and that's not even talking about Dabo Sweeney's rant that we're not going to get into on the show today. We need to talk about it next week, because it's been a fantastic week to talk about Clemson football again. Bill, the first college football playoff rankings come out, and not Georgia, but Ohio State is ranked number one in the country. What are your thoughts on this?
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I think we've talked about this in previous weeks. If you haven't beat them, how are you dropping them out of number one? They haven't lost. And when was the last time Georgia lost a game? This year. Last season? Like did they win? Was it? They won all the games last season.
Yeah, they went undefeated last year.
Yeah, so it was in 2021. And you're going to, for no reason, they're getting good quarterback play. And finally, it was what we were worried about, right? With Stetson Bennett being gone. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to drop them out of number one. That makes no sense. Why? Why does Ohio State get a higher ranking?
Drama.
Ryan, because they play Michigan on the road. That game.
I was going to say media bias, maybe. Media bias. Yeah, listen.
Is that Northeast sort of bias there?
I'm with you. Georgia hasn't lost. They deserve the opportunity to stay at number one until something happens. You look at the rest of the top 10, first of all. Pedro coming in the chat saying he's early tonight. And he is happy about Florida State coming in at number four. Rounds out Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Florida State in your top four. Going from there, you've got undefeated Washington. The one-loss Oregon team that lost to Washington sitting at six. Texas at seven. You've got Alabama still floating around there at number eight. Oklahoma at nine and Ole Miss at 10. And if you haven't been paying attention, you might be wondering why Oklahoma is not above Texas in the rankings. And it's because they lost to Kansas last week for the first time in something like 30 years.
That was a good game, though.
Oh, it was a fantastic game. Bill, you think they got anything else wrong about this top? I mean, hearing Ole Miss at number 10 is kind of weird to me. Is it not?
Because they just always seem to fail, right? We actually laughed about those teams failing in the past. I think the one they got wrong, and I hate to say this, I'm sorry, Pedro, I think Washington is right now better than Florida State. Now, that could change. Florida State doesn't play the schedule that Washington does. They just don't. I mean, who have they really gone up against thus far in the season? We thought that win at Clemson was really good, and obviously that one was really not so good at this point. So, I mean, their toughest test might be Florida, which isn't good either. So, you know, they just got stomped out by Georgia. So, I don't feel like the Seminoles belong in the top five right now. That it's really funny. I watched something this week where they were talking about the Seminoles being – in the top five or in the top four. And they said, well, their, you know, only close game was to Boston College. And I'm like, but it's Boston College, and you're docking other teams for having closer games with better teams. And I'm their reasoning just doesn't make any sense. So, sorry, I dropped Florida State out of that one. I put Washington up there. I think the Pac-12 has shown that it's pretty decent conference. I think USC's run through Notre Dame and other teams has made it look a little bit worse. But, man, I worry about Oregon. I think Oregon still has a shot at this thing. We got to – you know, it's weird. I heard something about this could be a possibility of having all four teams be undefeated going into this college football playoff, and that would be the case if Washington runs the table. But who would you – at that point, you would probably lose – you're going to be losing Ohio State or Michigan.
Yeah, I mean so,
– and that's in Michigan.
I still think that – yeah, listen, I still think we're going to get – obviously Michigan and Ohio State are going to eliminate each other, right?
Yeah.
We'll
eliminate one of them.
Yeah, we'll eliminate one of them, right? So I think the next question would be, is what happens if Alabama comes back and wins the SEC championship game? Because hypothetically, you could wind up with a one-loss Georgia,
yeah,
a one-loss Alabama, an undefeated Washington if they run the table and win the Pac-12, an undefeated Florida
it
State.
Gets ugly. I don't think.
Yeah, it's going to get really ugly.
Florida State's not going to lose. They shouldn't lose. Hey, my problem with Florida State is why are they ranked that high? They've beat one ranked team. One. That's not that good. No. Not good at all. Washington's going to run through a gauntlet at this point. They have three ranked games in a row. And then they play Washington State in the Apple Cup, which is a big deal in that state. I lived there for 18 years, so I know. And that's going to be a tough game for them as well. So Washington's got a lot to go through, but I think they've probably already beat the best team they're going to see in Oregon. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens there. I think Florida State runs the table because they just don't have anybody to play. And that's because the ACC stinks.
Typical ACC football. Pedro coming back in the chat. Washington's close game was against the Sun Devils of Arizona State.
Come on. Florida State's close game. They played a close game with – I'm sorry. They beat two ranked teams. They did beat LSU. They actually crushed LSU. They played a close game with Clemson and Boston College. Clemson's 4-4. And I don't even know what Boston, I can look very quickly, but, their record is, at the time they were 1-2. I don't know what they are now, but those are two very close games that they played. I mean, I don't feel it with Florida State. I'm not a Florida State fan, but I just don't feel it. I don't think they're a top five team right now. And I think if all five of those teams were to go undefeated, which is impossible, with Ohio State and Michigan playing each other, Florida State would get, I think if that were to happen, if they all run the table, other than that Ohio State game where one of those teams takes a loss, I think you still have four undefeated teams that go in the college football playoff. Because at this point, I don't think there's really much to speak about. You know, especially the guys that are voting, I think that would happen. I think that wouldn't matter, Ryan. If Alabama were to beat Georgia, that would be the sticky situation. That one is the most fun. I don't think they're good enough to. I don't think they're going to get enough quarterback play out of Milroe to beat anybody worth a darn. That goes well. It's going to be Georgia that they play in the championship game there, but. It's college football, man. I mean, this is why we play the games. You never know.
If we were in 2024, we wouldn't have to have this conversation because the top 12 are getting in the playoff.
Wow.
So
you'd still be having the conversation. There's still going to be a 13th team that doesn't get in, and you go, "Oh, they should have been." It's just going to happen. We do it.
I mean,
14. I think 68 team college basketball. Yeah. There's still the bubble watch, and there's the teams that got snubbed, and it's still going to happen.
I think the conversation would have to lean that. At that point, towards who deserves the bye more than the next team. Like, that's the only thing I can think about. But nevertheless, let's move on here. That's all we're going to talk college football this week outside of the pick'em games. But let's get into the NFL week 8 because we had some fun stuff happen last week as well. Let's start off here in Carolina, where the Carolina Panther fans can rejoice as the Carolina Panthers get their first win against C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. The defense did not give up a lot of – they didn't give up a one touchdown in this game. They gave up some yards, but it was a bend, don't break. They were really good on third down defensively, were the Carolina Panthers. They did just enough to win. Did you get to catch this game, and did you see the ending sequence of this game?
No, I cannot believe we're actually talking about the toilet bowl.
It was fantastic. So Eddie Pinheiro, come on.
We're talking about a team getting – in the eighth week of the season, finally getting its – now, granted, we are homering a little bit for them.
Here's the deal. The NFC South is so bad that even at 1-6, they still have a chance to win the division. That's why we're talking about it. The NFC South is such a dumpster fire that the Panthers still have an opportunity to win the division.
Okay.
Now this
game. So you're saying I feel like we should be cutting to So you're saying there's a chance, but they're terrible. So that's not happening.
Listen, it's what's funny about the way this game ended was that they had an unabated defender to the kicker, on two consecutive field goal attempts at the end of this game. Matter of fact, Eddie Pinheiro missed an extra point early in this game.
Florida Gator.
That sort of scared Panther fans. And so they ended up getting the ball much closer to kick this field goal. The second attempt where Houston jumped off sides, Pinheiro kicked it through the uprights. And because the defender was unabated, not only because it was his second time on a road did they get an unsportsmanlike, but they had to, by rule, they had to stop the play. And so Pinheiro had to come for a third time and try to kick this field goal. He does, and the Panthers get their first win. There will be no
Is that why it ended up being like a 23-yard field goal? Like, it's really close to the end. I actually wondered. I was like, were they about to score? Because I didn't see any of it.
So it was two offside penalties. It was 10 yards and offside penalties. And then 15 yards to the unsportsmanlike.
Got it.
Or half the distance of the goal, whatever it was.
Got it. So it was Carolina a really long kick that turned into a pretty short kick.
Yeah. So kudos to my Detroit Lions for being the only winless team in NFL history in the last 20 years.
Congratulations, Ryan. Congratulations. That's fantastic.
The next thing on the docket from the NFL Week 8, we're going to talk a little bit about Minnesota Vikings because we are going to talk a little bit more about Kirk Cousins in the show. It was asked about in the Facebook comments earlier this week. The Vikings playing against the Packers last week lose Kirk Cousins, who has never missed a game due to an injury. He missed time during COVID because of COVID, but the first time he's ever missed a game due to injury, he has a torn Achilles. And so at the trade deadline, the Vikings went and traded for the guy who's been starting in Arizona the entire season, former Tennessee Volunteer quarterback Joshua Dobbs. Bill, what's the – I guess we need to go ahead and ask it. We're going to ask it later in the show and kind of refresh everybody who comes in later to talk fantasy football. What sort of impact are we going to see out of Josh Dobbs coming into Minnesota here?
Well, I think, Ryan, before the season started, none of us expected to see Josh Dobbs starting games in the NFL. And maybe there are some random Tennessee Josh Dobbs fans out there that they get to watch their quarterback from 5 years ago play some more football. I mean, maybe that's getting some people excited. Me as a football fan, did he's every once in a while make some plays where you go, oh, there's a little bit of talent there. I think we saw that at Tennessee years ago, but he's just not consistent. I mean, I think his passer rating's like 81.8. That's pretty bad. I'm a little surprised by the trade. I think they were just kind of reaching. They don't like – what's their name of their backup? He's a rookie. I forget his name. He did play and threw some passes. I think he went 3 for 4 after Cousins was hurt, and they ended up winning that game. But they don't believe in him for some reason. I find this weird. This is a weird situation in NFL history, I feel like, that multiple teams, when their starters get hurt now, they don't believe in their backup. It's the strangest thing. It's really odd. But, so that's happened. I don't think it's going to mean a lot. I really don't. I think I feel bad for people like me that drafted Justin Jefferson in the first round of his draft with the first overall pick because he's been injured, and now when he comes back, he has a guy that really doesn't throw very well throwing to him. I think he'll still do okay, but Minnesota's done for the year. And they were rallying, man. They were rallying. Yep. It's too bad for that team.
Real quick, Volleyball, he comes back in the chat. Both the Vikings and Falcons this weekend coming in with new starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, but Falcons have Taylor Heinicke starting, so that's actually not that bad. He's not a terrible
It's an improvement.
No, come on, Ritter's been okay. He's been okay.
No, it's an improvement. We can talk off the air. Ritter has been terrible. He has just as many touchdowns as he has interceptions.
Hey, Jalen Hurts is not throwing for a lot of yards. Jalen Hurts has been throwing a lot of picks this year, too.
But they're winning games. Pedro comes back in the chat that the Vikings were having trade talks to get Jameis Winston, but he liked Dobbs. They like Dobbs more for the trade compensation. Let's go to the final storyline coming out of NFL Week 8. Patrick Mahomes was rumored to have come down with a case of the flu at the end of last week, and it showed as the abysmal Denver Broncos, who were blown out by the Miami Dolphins earlier in the season, they put up 70 points on them.
That was them.
Held the Denver Broncos or held the Kansas City Chiefs to 9 points. In a 24-9 rout of the Kansas City Chiefs. Bill, if I had to take any sort of point away from this game, I think it's that the only way that you're going to beat Patrick Mahomes is if he's so sick that he's getting IVs worth of fluids the night before the game. I mean, this is a total fluke win, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was way off. But the Broncos, I don't think anybody expected him to be that bad at the beginning of the season. And I have a friend that's a Broncos fan, and he texted me during the Dolphin game and said, congratulations, you just beat the worst team in the AFC. And I never thought that was actually true. I really didn't, because, you know, the Jets are still out there at 4-3, and I still can't believe what Robert Saleh is doing. But, yeah, I think they're a little better than that. Russell Wilson's actually not having a bad season. But, yeah, is this a fluke win? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we're going to find out how good the Chiefs are this weekend. They have a very good defense this year, and they really aren't even winning with offense. Their offense hasn't been fantastic.
Nope.
Patrick Mahomes has been fantastic. They don't have much of a running game, but Pacheco's not horrible. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting this weekend. They're going to play in Germany. They're going to play the Miami Dolphins, and it's going to be fun. Everybody's going to have to wake up at 9:30 in the morning. I won't be doing that.
Yep. Pedro coming back in the chat. Even Tom Brady had bad days. Losing to Miami in Super Bowl runs. I think that was a shot taken.
Yeah, it was like the toughest. Yeah.
Let's ask one more question, because the trade deadline is come and gone. We didn't see a lot of big moves except for the Washington Commanders, who let go of two of their biggest pass rushers.
Crazy. What was that? It's not that they're not in the battle for their division either. I mean, or at least playoffs. They're close. They're close. I mean, the seventh seed right now is Minnesota, and they just lost their quarterback.
Yeah. Bill, if you had to pick one, what was your biggest takeaway from the trade deadline?
I think that Chase Young trade, when I saw that happen, he was considered a generational talent and so far has been injured quite a bit in his career. I mean, his best season was 7.5 sacks his rookie season. He has 5 this season. I looked him up because I was like, how did they trade this guy? It's a rental. It's a rental for the San Francisco 49ers. We see this in baseball all the time, right? Where teams trade at the trade deadline and try to get some help, with what they need. They know they're not going to sign the guy. That's kind of what's going on in San Francisco. I'm surprised about that. But second round draft pick. I mean, I guess I don't know. I feel like that's not a lot to get for somebody you think is a generational talent in Chase Young.
I mean, you've got Young and Bosa on both sides of the line. There were rumors that the Lions were going to go after Young to have Hutchinson and Young on both sides of the ball.
And then they traded Montez Sweat at the same time. Like, wow, there's no pass rush now in Washington. So if you play Washington later in the season, and I believe the Miami Dolphins do, enjoy playing against that defensive line because they're all backups now.
Well, nevertheless, I'm going to tell you mine, and mine has nothing to do with players. My biggest move in the trade deadline has to go to the Las Vegas Raiders, who fired both their GM
That's and no their trade. Head coach.
It's still a trade deadline move.
I was like, what did they do?
On trade deadline day, they fired both the GM and the head coach. They made no moves.
And the offensive coordinator.
Yep. They could have gotten Max Crosby for some draft capital. They could have gone out and traded Davante Adams for some trade capital, because Davante Adams clearly does not want to be there anymore. And instead, they make no moves except for firing the guys in charge at the end of the trade deadline. Bill, I told you we're changing it up this week. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, podcast pick'ems. We're going to go right into podcast pick'ems this week. We're going to finish the show talking nothing about fantasy, nothing but fantasy football. So stay tuned. We'll be right back to talk podcast pick'ems right here on Tap House and Touchdowns.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Business Equipment. With offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my personal best friend, Aaron Thompson, at 843-452-8761 for a quote today, and make sure you tell him that Ryan from Tap House and Touchdowns sent you. Carolina Business Equipment, you worry about your business, let us handle your technology.
Back to Tap House and Touchdowns. It's your guy, Billy Rye, with Banker Bill. Before we get into podcast pick-ups, we have one more comment come in the chat. Pedro saying Jimmy G got benched too. That they did. I can't wait. We're going to talk about it a little bit later in the show.
Do you know what this is? This is a owner making a huge swing for the number one overall draft pick. I'm going to fire everyone and then bench a decent quarterback who's having a tough year. If you blame the coach, how can you blame the quarterback at the same time? That's how bad that ownership is. That's terrible.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I mean,
you're swinging for Caleb Williams. Davis fan. You're not going to get it. You know why? Because you still have talent on that roster. Max Crosby's really good. Josh Jacobs is really good. Davante Adams is really good. You're still going to win games.
Josh Jacobs. Podcast pick'ems. Like I said, we're changing the format up a little bit this week. We're going to get into podcast pick'ems now. If you look at the standings, I made up a game on Bill last week. I went 4-1. Banker Bill went 3-2. So now I sit one game back while the guest pickers sit at 27-13 on the season. We got a special guest, a guy that's never been on the show before. He is a professional poker player. I am not making this up. My friend, my old friend with the same name, part of the Yon crew. That's an inside joke with us. Ryan Lupino is here with us tonight. Lupino, what's going on, bud?
How's it going, guys? Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is a good time, man. I hope you're ready to make some football picks, because I know as a professional poker player, I know you you know how to gamble. So
I'm terrified.
I've got faith.
I'm terrified.
I'm good with cards. I know sports, but I'm really bad with sports bets. But I'm going to give it my all.
Well, let's see what we got here.
Definitely not financial advice.
Yeah, definitely not financial advice. This is all for fun here. We're not telling you to open up your wallets here.
No,
part of it.
But if you listen to us, you'd be making money right now.
It looks like it. I see those records. Pretty intimidating.
Yeah, we don't play no games, Lupino.
That's good.
At least I quit school because of recess. Okay. let's get into the first game here of the let's go into the college slate here. Two ranked games in the SEC, and that's where we're gonna go here. Number 12 Missouri at number 2 Georgia. Georgia, a 15.5 point favorite in this game. I believe Missouri has only got one loss all year long. Pretty strong showing for the University of Missouri. Lupino, I'm going to let you start us off here. Is there any chance that Missouri covers the spread against Georgia this weekend?
I definitely think there's a chance they cover the spread. I don't know if they can win straight up, but Georgia's playing probably some of its best football now, even without Brock Bauer. Carson Beck has improved dramatically. I'm a South Carolina fan. When we shut them down in the first half of that game, I didn't think he was very good, but he has shown up as of late. But Missouri has a great offense. They haven't played a great defense, nothing like UGA. I do think they will be able to put up some points. I could see Georgia covering the spread, but I'm going to go with Missouri to cover the 15.5.
All right. Lupino coming in strong, taking Missouri to cover. Bill, what say you?
This game is in Athens. Ball game. This is a blowout. Georgia stomps the Tigers out, ends their season. Well, ends the crazy Cinderella roll that they're on right now. Number 12, Missouri Tigers. You told me that before the season. Would you have believed it? Not a chance, but Georgia just stomps right here. This is a 3-touchdown game.
Listen, I hate to say it, but I'm going to agree with Bill here, especially coming off a week where Georgia drops in the college football playoff rankings to number 2 in the premier ranking.
Yeah,
they're going to come out angry, and they've now officially got a point to prove. I'm taking Georgia as well. Let's stick in the SEC, but go to the West now as the big rivalry game that's been in the SEC for the last 10 to 15 years. Number 14 at LSU at number 8 Alabama. Alabama only a 3-point favorite in this game. Bill, we talked about this when we were talking about the top 10 rankings here. That you don't have much faith in Jalen Monroe when it comes to a meaningful game. Does Alabama get this 3-point spread at home?
I think so. I think Alabama covers this. I think it's just because it's in Alabama. It's going to be a tough game. LSU's finding their stride just a little bit. I mean, they got stomped hard early in the season, but they're getting better. But Missouri's only loss is to LSU, and that was I believe that game was in Missouri. So I think LSU's a pretty good team, but I think Alabama's just – they're just a little bit too many horses on that team. I think they cover 3.
Yeah, matter of fact, that Missouri game, Missouri had it close late and threw a pick 6 that basically sealed the deal for LSU. Lupino, what say you? LSU, Alabama, who gets this?
I got to agree with Bill. I'm going to go with Alabama. Both teams are coming off a bye, which is huge, but I don't think anybody comes off a bye like Nick Saban, especially at home. 3-point spread. I think they'll cover it. I think it'll be fairly close, but I think they'll cover the field goal. They'll find a way to shut down Malik Nabers. That's the biggest weapon on LSU there. And I think it might be a high-scoring game, but I'm going to go Bama -3.
Yeah,
I
hate it too, but we're gonna take it across the board here. I think kind of like what I said about Georgia, Alabama's got a point to prove. They lost one game. They fell, way out of the top 10 and have sort of been the team to scratch and claw their way back in to have an opportunity to maybe potentially make a playoff if they can come out and get the SEC, and that's what they're doing here. So I've got Alabama covering as well. We got a couple of chats here. One, Pedro wants chaos. He's taking Missouri, but he thinks Georgia's going to cover that game. Glenn Jimmy coming back in the chat. Welcome back. Missouri sneaky, probably closer than we think. So he's
not
also
in Athens.
but he's also one more for the chaos.
I like the pick, though. That's fun. I mean, I'd like to see Missouri play a close game here. That'd be a fun game, but I just don't feel it.
Yep, and then he comes back with one more. Saban struggles with dual-threat quarterbacks. LSU and Brian pull a rare thing and start a streak on Alabama. So he's taking LSU not only to cover that spread, but to get the win outright. Let's go over to the NFL ranks. Bill mentioned it earlier. The game in Frankfurt, Germany. Start the Germany series this season with a huge matchup. 9:30 Sunday morning. The Dolphins and the Chiefs, where the Chiefs are a 2.5-point favorite. Lupino, let's go back to you here. The Chiefs, -2.5. Who you got? I don't know how to present this game. Who you got here?
I'm excited to watch it. I'm not I don't wake up. I don't like waking up early, but this might be a good reason to. But I love the Dolphins and what Mike McDaniel has done with that team. I love watching them, the offense. But last week against Denver, I heard you guys talk about it. Might have been a fluke game in Denver, a rival, and Mahomes had the flu. I do think that they've taken a step back this year, but I do think they'll bounce back this week. The only thing about the Dolphins, they haven't shown up fully against a good team yet. I think that they can and they're capable, but I'm going to have to go with the Chiefs -2.5 to cover in Germany.
I'm going to say not so fast here because I know Bill's going to always vote against his team. Maybe he's surprising me this week. I'm taking the Dolphins, man. They got Jalen Ramsey back last week, and all he did was go out and get an interception.
He's a big part.
Yeah, they've got some pieces coming back on this defense. They're obviously still missing Devin Achane, but Raheem Mostert is still a serviceable back. Savon Ahmed had a good day last week. Listen, the Dolphins are out to prove that they are the class in the AFC this year. Kansas City's taken a step back on offense. They went out and re-signed or traded back for Mecole Hardman because they're not getting the production out of these wide receivers that they want. If Travis Kelce, if he stubs a toe, if he sprains an ankle, this offense is in trouble. And I know that Mahomes is recovering from the flu, but that's not something you get over really quickly. And now he's got to travel all the way out east to Europe for this game. I'm taking the Dolphins to cover and get the outright win here. Bill, what say you? What are you saying about your Dolphins here in Germany?
You know how I feel about my picking my team, right, Ryan? So, you know, this week I'm going to have to. They also are getting Xavier Howard back. Javon Holland's coming back this week. Teron Armstead likely to play this week and possibly Connor Williams. So this is sort of a get healthy game for the Dolphins. Bunch of their players they've been missing for weeks are coming back against the Chiefs. I think they planned it this way, and I think the Dolphins win this game.
Bill's gonna I hope you guys are right about this because I think it'll be a much better game if the Dolphins win.
Yeah. Fun fact, I don't think Taylor Swift's going to be at the game. And when Travis Kelce – Taylor Swift is at the game – Travis Kelce averages 108 yards receiving. When she's not there, he averages 51.
I need her there for fantasy purposes. But.
Yeah. I hope Bill didn't just jinx his team because he thinks that every time he picks the Dolphins, they lose. Got a couple more comments.
I like to pick against them when I think they're going to lose. This week, I think they're going to win.
We got a couple more comments in the chat here. Glenjamin saying the fins up. Pedro, Tyreek Hill running all over the Chiefs. Miami takes it. Volley Polly. He thinks Alabama is going to cover the LSU game. And then Glenjamin said it. No Taylor Swift. No Kelce superpower. Alex Mims in the chat. Fantasy football or just fantasy? Ryan Lupino. wanted to throw that out there. Alex, stick around. Buddy. We're talking fantasy Alex. Football here. After we do the picks, we got two more games in the NFL to pick real quick. Sunday 4:25, a divisional rivalry here. Out of the NFC East, the Cowboys at the Eagles. The Eagles are a 3-point favorite. And so Aaron Thompson doesn't come in the chat and accuse me of never going first. I'm going to take this game here first. Listen, the Cowboys know how to score on defense. I think for some reason, the Cowboys tend to play better when they're not thought of as highly as, you know, most teams. And so nobody's really expecting them to go into Philadelphia and win. Philadelphia, it's an afternoon game, so it's not going to be that night rowdiness. It's still going to be Philadelphia where they'll boo Santa Claus. I'm still taking the Cowboys to cover. I'm not sure if the Cowboys win this game. And a 3-point spread is kind of scary to say that they cover, but I'm taking the Cowboys here. Bill, what say you, Cowboys and Eagles?
Not so fast, Ryan. I think the Eagles are a much better team than the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott had a good game last week, and he tends to go up and down pretty inconsistent. I think he's going to struggle at the Eagles. A three-point. Come on. The officials have been on the Eagles side all season. The Eagles covered 3 points.
Not change my pick. I'm kidding. No, I mean, I'd like to.
Jalen Hurts for the win.
Lupino, what say you? Cowboys and Eagles?
I'm with Bill. I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think they're the better team. Cowboys, when they show up, they really tend to show up. But I think they have to get out to an early lead or they're in trouble. Every time they get behind, they never seem to be able to make it up. The Eagles have had a lot of turnovers this year. As long as they don't, you know, go crazy with turnovers, I think they'll cover and win at home. But it could be a close game, but I think they are the better team.
Real quick, a couple more chats. Daniel Padron in the chat. Good to see you here. Gamecocks over Gamecocks. I'm not sure what game
that is. That's right.
The Gamecocks will win this week. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Gamecocks over Gamecocks. That's
but
right.
I actually think it's probably going to be Jacksonville State.
It might be. Yeah.
A Clemson fan would tell you it's going to be on Cartoon Network. It's going to be chicken versus chicken, followed by robot chicken on Cartoon Network. A couple more chats here. The Eagles used the tush push to get push the Cowboys around.
Well done.
And Pedro, go Birds. Jalen outplays Dax. I'm going to find a way to win despite mistakes. Yeah. Let's go to the last game here, the 8:30 Sunday night football kickoff, a game that we didn't get to watch last season because of the unfortunate DeMar Hamlin situation, the roles are switched. It is not in Buffalo. It is now in Cincinnati. Sunday, 8:30 at night kickoff. Buffalo Bills at the Cincinnati Bengals. Lupino, what say you? Bengals, a 3-point favorite here at home.
Yeah, I wanna take the Bills bad because of the DeMar Hamlin thing, but I can't bet on Josh Allen right now. He's a great QB. I just think he's been a little inconsistent as of late. He's getting the job done here and there, but I'm gonna have to take the hot team and the Bengals. Joe Burrow looks finally healthy. That whole offense looks great. The running game's getting going, and I think they have an underrated defense. So I'm gonna go with them to cover the 3. I usually get the Bills wrong whenever I bet against them or on them. So the good chance that they win, but I'm going to go with the Bengals here. I think they're the hotter team.
Who is it in our fantasy league that's a big Bills fan?
Chris.
Nobody likes the Bills.
Chris Hall.
Yeah.
I'm playing in this league of fantasy, so I'm Beat sure him. All the Bills guys will do well.
Yeah. Chris Hall, the Bills are going down this weekend, buddy. I'm taking the Bengals as well. The same reason Lupino did. Joe Burrow looks healthy. Jamar Chase is catching everything that you throw at him. Joe Mixon actually looked good. Finding the end zone last week. The Bengals are finally who we thought they were. And I think they continue the streak over the Bills. Bill, what say you?
You know, playing on Sunday nights or night games in Cincinnati is dangerous. I don't know if you guys realize Tua, you remember the fingers, the horrible fingers when he got knocked down in Cincinnati. DeMar Hamlin in Cincinnati. So playing at night in Cincinnati is not a good thing, and it's not going to be a good thing for the Bills. I think the Bengals cover 3 points.
I'm right there with you. Lupino, this has been fun, man. I've been trying to get you on all season. I'm glad I finally got the chance to get you on here. Anybody you want to shout out before we say goodbye to you for the evening?
I'm going to shout out. I saw Alex Mims in the chat. He's watching, and I'm just going to shout out to my wife and two little girls that are just going to bed right now.
Oh, cool. Good stuff, man. I look forward to watching you at the World Series of Poker on ESPN, the Ocho, one day.
Let's hope I'm there. Final tables, baby. Hey, and thank you guys very much. I really enjoyed this. Anytime you guys want to have me on the show, just let me know.
Yeah, man, this has been fun. The next time you come up to Cherokee, let us know. Bill and I will meet you up there. Yeah,
sounds good. We'll do.
All right. Ryan Lupino, everybody, making picks for us here on Podcast Pick'ems. We are going to take our final break. When we come back, it is all fantasy football. If you're watching live on Facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns, get your questions in the chat. We only got a few people coming in. Into the comment sections over this early this week. You got any fantasy football questions, start, sit, drop or keep, trade questions, anything you want to know, put it in the chat so that we can read it. When we come back from break, we're all fantasy football to end the show. When we come back right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina, is your one-stop shop for all of your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and the most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9-star rating or on Facebook by searching for One Stop Repairs. Call for a quote today at 843-343-6310. That's the number one-stop repairs.
Welcome, everybody, back to Tap Outs and Touchdowns Live. It's your guy, Billy Rye, with Banker Bill, and we are here to discuss fantasy football. week, what is it? We're on week 10, week 9. We're on week 9 of fantasy football. It's hard to keep track when the college football is always a week ahead of the NFL.
No, it's
not. Fantasy, it is for me. Fantasy football week 10. Let's start off with Bully's buys and sells and Bill's fact or crap. It's also hard for me to get used to the fact that we've adjusted this. So
it's week 9. It's week 9.
What did I say? Week 10? I said week 9.
You said week 10. It's week 9.
Week 9. Okay. Week 9 of fantasy football. Bully's buys and sells. I am 33-31 on the season. Bill's fact or crap. If you're listening to Bill, he's going to give you some better.
Also leading both my fan. I only play in 2 leagues. I don't even like fantasy football that much. I mean, I've always paid attention to it. That's the honest truth. And I am leading both my leagues in scoring this season. I better get 2 ships this year. I'll be very disappointed if I don't.
Well, let's talk about some Bully's buys here for week 9 as I make a quick adjustment to this right here. Bully's buys for week 9. We're going to start off at quarterback as we always do. There's a new name on the list here. Quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, Will Levis. And Bill, I don't have my notebook this week because I did it all digitally. Oh, I've got it right in front of me.
You got to put up – hang on, Ryan. I'm going to interrupt you. I was reading comments. Pedro's curious about Monday. We'll get there. Ryan lied. We're going to get to that on Homer's Corner. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Don't you worry about Monday.
Yeah, we're getting there. Ryan said it was all fantasy football. He's like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
I appreciate that, Pedro. Yeah,
Pedro, a good call out. Let's go ahead and read the other part of the chat real quick. We got Glenjamin taking Joe Burrow in the Bengals. Pedro also taking the Bengals as well. When I mentioned ESPN 8, the Ocho, we get a dodge, dip, dive, duck, and dodge on the Ocho. A nice little shout out there. Volley Polly also agrees with Cincinnati. I think that's all the comments we're caught up on now. So let's talk a little bit about Will Levis, projected 18.1 fantasy points. He made his NFL debut last weekend against a top 10 Falcons defense. Yes, you might not believe it, but statistically, the Falcons were a top 10 defense in the NFL. And all Will Levis did was put up 238 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, no turnovers, which was good for 30-plus fantasy points depending on your scoring rules, your scoring metric, whatever. There you go. Now he gets a middle-of-the-road Steelers defense, albeit on the road and on a short week on Thursday Night Football. And let's be honest, some of his passes weren't pretty, but he made them work. Brought DeAndre Hopkins back to life. He might be the spark that the Titans offense needs to get them going to make a run at that AFC South. Bill, what say you? Will Levis 18.1 fantasy points. Are you buying it? Is it a fact or crap?
You mean you want the truth?
I can't handle the truth, Ryan.
This is crap. Come on, quarterback. That was beginner's luck. Come on. I'm not even going to get into it. Will Levis was known for being a gunslinger when he was in college, and he takes way too many chances. Somebody's going to burn him. It's going to be this week. Pittsburgh? Really? You think he's going to score that much on Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
This is Mike Tomlin we're talking about. He's going to make the kid cry.
Kenny Pickett's still not fully healthy, and they're probably going to play him. I'm telling you right now.
That's not important. He's on offense. Is Kenny Pickett going to make Will Levis cry? No.
People probably said the same thing about Brock Purdy last year, and all he did was lead the league in passing.
Brock Purdy's crying now. It just took a season and a half.
Oh, you stop it. Cut it out. Come on. It'll be all right. All right, let's go over to running back here, and I've got some names that you're going to recognize, but I didn't want to take low-hanging fruit. I wanted to go out on a limb, but I'm putting names that you're probably starting in fantasy football. So if you got questions about other guys, talk to us on social media. Going forward, and we'll start bringing him on the show here. My running back that I'm buying all in on is Jonathan Taylor this week. He's got a high projection and 16.1 points. Zach Moss is banged up, may not play in this game, and Jonathan Taylor is back to form thanks to Gardner Minshew, making the passing game a viable threat to set up the run. Indianapolis gets the Panthers this week, allowing the second most points to opposing running backs this season. I'm rolling hard. With Jonathan Taylor. Bill, what say you? Fact or crap, 16.1 points for Jonathan Taylor.
That's a fact, Ryan. This is a good pick. Finally, fantasy managers get the guy that they've been waiting for all season. I think it was pretty nerve-wracking. It's been weeks, and he's finally had 2 decent games. But as soon as he came off the bench, they were like, he's going to roll, and then he didn't do anything for 2 weeks. And everybody went, were we wrong? No, you're right. Here comes Jonathan Taylor, and he's going to roll this weekend.
Right on. I'm glad you're liking that pick because I'm hoping you're going to like this one.
Finally. Even though it's... No, I'm kidding.
I was going to say, even though it's not the right New York team, listen, I made a trade for this guy this week in fantasy football, and I'm not upset about it. Wide receiver Garrett Wilson, the New York Jets, surprisingly also projected 16.1 points. Remember that number here for a minute. Garrett Wilson gets a Chargers defense allowing the third most points to opposing wide receivers. And despite this guy catching passes from Zach Wilson for the entire season, he has only two games under double-digit fantasy points for the entire season.
How many over 16.1, Ryan?
I know he has – listen, I
– No. Anyway, I asked a question, Ryan. You have them right in front of you. How many has he gone over 16.1?
I don't have that exact number
right
in front
of me.
No, I don't. I'll tell you right now.
I'll get it for you.
I will tell you right now, although he hasn't found the end zone since week two, he has 12 or more targets in three of his last four games. I love him this week to get that target share, maybe find the end zone against the Chargers. I love Zach Wilson this week. Or I'm sorry, Garrett Wilson, not Zach Wilson. I love Garrett Wilson this week. Bill, what say you?
16.1, right? Was that the question?
Yep, that's it.
Three games, Ryan. Three games out of all his games. You do realize a target is the ball when it lands to the closest offensive player that's considered a target. When Zach Wilson throws the ball, he doesn't know who it's going to. So a lot of those targets are probably just he's throwing it to the side. Who knows where he's throwing it, right? So, I mean, look at last week. If we look at last week's game, I mean, this is Garrett Wilson. It's your guy you just traded for. He had 13 targets last time. He only caught 7 of them. That's not a good ratio, and that's because Zach Wilson stinks. And so does this pick. This is crap. Don't buy on Garrett Wilson this week.
I want to find his fantasy points while we're live on the air here.
I can give him to you right now.
I can give you his points right now. The last 2 weeks, 17 points. It was a bye the week 7, 18 yep. points.
16.1, Ryan. You got to beat 16.1.
He's beaten it what, 4 times already this season out of 7 games.
He's beaten it 3 times this season.
He had
3, 17, and 18, 6. The rest of them were under 16.
He had 15 against Kansas City.
That's under 16.1, Ryan. I don't know if math is your strong suit, but
it's not.
Some of us know that's less.
Yeah, I'm South Carolina educated. Leave me alone. Listen, you can crap all over this, but when Garrett Wilson wins me my week.
I'm not saying you won't get close, Ryan. I'm not saying that.
In the Tap House and Touchdowns League, you're gonna be really upset about
it. We have to talk
about
trades in that one, too.
Yeah. Volleyball wants to chime in. Can't believe in the Tap House and Touchdowns Fantasy League that you are the only one over 500 in your division.
I picked a lot of bad players. That was my intent. Well, come on. Dude, I look smart, right? I'm not good looking, so I must have something that's going for me. So.
You're also running through a bad division, I'm assuming. Not really. My division's bad, too. I mean, I'm in second place. Bad.
No, your division is more than, what, 5-3 teams?
Yeah, a bunch of them. Yeah. I'm the number one 5-3 team though.
Yeah.
Let's go here to Pedro back. He doesn't know he's selling Garrett Wilson too. He's on board with you. And then Glenjamin, Garrett Wilson's such a risk, but somehow he's turned into a lot more respectable fantasy games despite bad quarterback play. That's exactly what I've been saying.
Fling it in the air. Garrett Wilson will go get it.
I like Glenjamin. He's good people. All right, my tight end that I'm buying this week goes to the Buffalo Bills, and it's going to Dalton Kincaid, projected 11.4 points. Let's see what I got about Dalton Kincaid here. Dawson Knox injured, and all of a sudden, Josh Allen is feeding Dalton Kincaid 15 targets in the past 2 games, found the end zone for the first time last week. And then, again, we mentioned this, a renewed game that we didn't get to see last year. The Bengals are allowing the most points to opposing tight ends. Start Dawson Kincaid with the utmost confidence this week.
Yes, I think you're starting him this week. I'm going to call fact on that one, Ryan. I think you're starting him this week. Obviously, you have a team that gives up the most points to that position. We also call that low-hanging fruit. You know, you're going with the tight end that plays the team that's the worst at playing against tight end. Anyway, it makes sense. Fact.
Well, the problem is that not a lot of people have been starting Dalton Kincaid because he hasn't been
all
that
productive. I think you are now. I think you would be now. Yeah, you are now. You'd be smart too now. There's a couple of players out there but he's one of those ones, like you said, Knox is hurt. So now I think you would be starting to. This kid's a draft pick, a high draft pick. So they were looking to play him and just get him worked into the offense because they think he's going to be a good player. So yeah, with an injured tight end and now he's your starter, he's the guy to play.
Well, let's go over to my cells because I've got some names here that are gonna may resonate with you, may not. Let's start off here. Bully sells in week 9. Start off at quarterback here and go to the Houston Texans quarterback, C.J. Stroud. He projected 19.1 points, and he's had a pretty decent season up until the last two games. The Panthers last week is a team known for being able to let the running backs run all over you, but they held Stroud to a season-low 140 passing yards last week with no touchdowns for C.J. Stroud, helping lead Carolina the first win of the season. Since week 4, Stroud has yet to score more than 20 fantasy points. He has 16, 18, and 13 in his last three games, and he has 3 touchdowns and 1 pick in those same 3 games. Houston now draws a Bucs defense that was seen as a formidable defense early in the season, now just ranks 21st against quarterbacks. It's a decent matchup for C.J. Stroud, but if the Panthers can hold him to 140 passing yards, I think the Bucs are going to be able to do something very similar. Take the under on this 19.1. Bill, what say you?
I agree. It's a fact. You said it well enough. He started the season really well, and then they got tape on the kid. And he played some decent defenses, not great defenses. They went through the entire NFC South and didn't have good games. And he's not completing as many passes as he was early in the season. He didn't have a great completion percentage to start the year. He was relying on a lot of big plays, and they're not happening now. They found the kid's weaknesses, and they're starting to exploit them, and I don't think he's going to score much.
Do you remember when you said something along the lines about of all the rookie quarterbacks?
He still is. He still is. He's on a terrible team. Look, we were all shocked to see the Texans winning games. We both thought they were going to go 2-15 this year. And nobody expected to see C.J. Stroud. I mean, I did say I thought he was the best of the three. I mean, Bryce Young is tiny.
Yeah, but
he's pretty special. He's pretty special in college, but we always worry about those Alabama quarterbacks.
Well, and he out-dueled C.J. Stroud last week, did one Bryce Young.
I know, but we're talking – it was a really close game. Stroud didn't play – I mean, like I said, you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong about that, but Stroud I still think is the best of the three.
Now, listen, I don't like him this week for sure. So, I know a couple people that had him. There's guys on buys this week. C.J. Stroud is not a guy that you want to stream this week whatsoever.
No.
Let's see. We got another comment in the chat. Let's see. Lindgren coming after preseason. He definitely thought Stroud was going to be trash.
I actually thought that too. And I wasn't going to say, I mean, I didn't like beat the drum saying, hey, I thought he was going to be the best of the three. I said it to Ryan a long time ago, and I might've said it on here, but when they were doing the draft, I thought Stroud was the best. And from what I saw in college, I thought he was the best of the three. And, I think it was that Alabama game when they played the Georgia game.
When they played Georgia,
I was like, wow. He was really good in that game. They're finding ways to stop him now.
He didn't look good really against the Panthers.
They have a good passing defense.
Yeah. Well, they're not. Their secondary's all banged up though. The Panthers have been beat up all year.
They can't stop the run. They're good against the pass.
Nevertheless, let's move on here to running backs here. My running back cell. We talked about this game when we did podcast pick'ems, the Eagles and Cowboys. Tony Pollard. I told you to remember that number, 16.1. Three guys that I decided to talk about here on buys and sells were all projected 16.1 points. ESPN must have a really big infatuation with that number this week. Tony Pollard, the running back for the Dallas Cowboys, projected 61 points. I'm selling him because I know I just said the Cowboys tend to play up. I also mentioned that I didn't think they were going to necessarily win, but they'd cover the spread. But you get a rivalry game against the Eagles, giving up the fewest points to opposing running backs this season. Three of his past four games have been in single-digit fantasy points. And if he hasn't found the end zone since his 2-touchdown performance all the way back in week 1, if you have better options than Tony Pollard, take whoever it is over Pollard this week. I do not like him this week. And honestly, I thought he was going to break out this season, and he hasn't looked great. Bill, what say you?
He was the best quarterback. He was the best running back of that roster last season, even though, with the injury and everything. I agree with you. That's a fact. I think against the Eagles, 16-1 is reaching. That is a lot for a running back, unless he's going to catch some passes. So I don't think he's going to score that this week. So I'll give you another fact on that one, Ryan.
Well, Pedro thinks not only does he play bad, but he thinks Tony Pollard's going to fumble.
Calling shots. Listen to Pedro over here.
I'm loving it. I'm loving Pedro getting involved
every
week. If you're watching the show live, be it YouTube, Facebook, or X. Make sure you leave a comment in the chat. If you got any questions about fantasy football, we'll read them on the air, and we will get your comments, whatever they are, live on the air tonight talking fantasy football. Let's go over to wide receiver that we're selling this week. We mentioned him already. Devontae Adams projected 15.3 fantasy points this week. I don't know if there's much I need to say, but I did write some stuff, so I'm going to read it anyway. Sure, the Raiders get a defense of the Giants ranked in the back half of the league against wide receivers, and they also made some moves at the trade deadline that will help their defense get worse. But Mark Davis fired both GM worst. David Ziegler, head coach Josh McDaniel, and the offensive coordinator, who I can't name you, the night of the NFL trade deadline. And all signs are pointing to rookie Aiden O'Connell getting the start over Jimmy G this week. We've talked about all this on the show. If you didn't watch the Monday Night Football game, there was a play where Devontae Adams had everybody beat. It was 20 yards from Devontae Adams, and Jimmy Garoppolo threw it 20 yards in front of Devontae Adams. And Adams was visibly upset on the sidelines, throwing his helmet against the bench. Clearly doesn't want to be in Vegas, but they wouldn't make a move. And if O'Connell couldn't beat out the guy before the front office shakeup, I don't have faith in him or Adams this week. I'm selling this. I think I had 15.3. It might be a projection of 14, whatever it is. I don't like Devontae Adams at all this week. Bill, what say you?
The only thing I feel good about with Devontae Adams is whoever, I think it's their linebackers coach that was promoted to head coach there in Vegas. And all I could think of is if I'm the linebackers coach and don't know a tremendous amount about offense, I look at the quarterback and I say, you see that guy wearing number 17? Throw him the ball all night long. Like, he's the best player on our offense. If anybody's going to get the ball, he's going to get the ball. Because of that, they might do okay, but at the same time, the other team's probably going to cover the heck out of him. I don't feel – are you kidding me? What offense are they going to run? Like, what do? You fire the coordinator, you fire the coach, and do you go, okay, well, at least we still have their playbook. Like, that's what you have to do, right?
They've got Josh Jacobs on a one-year contract. Maybe they decide to just run him into the ground the rest of the season. I corrected it. I just pulled up the new projections on ESPN's
3-5
fantasy football app.
They're 3-5. You fire the coach after 3-5? Like, talk about terrible ownership. Terrible.
In fairness, nobody had faith in him anyway. They were already 3-5.
The Dolphins rode with Cam Cameron when they went 1-15, at least until the end of the season. After they started the season 0-10, you would have thought maybe that's a time to fire somebody. But 3-5? Come on. Well, Mark Davis is a joke.
That's why the Raiders are the perennial laughingstock. Maybe next to the Cleveland Browns. So, Bill, you're taking the under on this. You're facting this?
Yeah, I'm facting this. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to also put in a fact that Mark Davis is a joke. That's a fact.
I'll take it.
Sell.
At tight end, I originally gave Bill Darren Waller as my sell. And then I found out today that he is going to miss multiple weeks with a re-aggravated hamstring injury. So I had to change my pick. And my last-minute change was to David Njoku of the Cleveland Browns, 10.4 fantasy point projections. Playing against Arizona, giving up the second fewest points to tight ends. We still don't know. Deshaun Watson was practicing in a limited capacity this week. We don't know if he was going to be back. Or if we get one more week of former XFL Player of the Year, PJ Walker. Despite having matched or broken this projection of 10.4 in his last four games, I don't see it happening for him this week. Bill, David Njoku, fact or crap, is 10.4 fantasy point under.
Fact. He's also injured. He's questionable.
There is one game, one player that we separated on this week, and that's Will Levis.
And that's what I'll be right on.
All right. So
What's the gap grow?
There's your bullies, buys, and sells, Bill's factor crap. Now we're going to get into some more fantasy football here with questions that you presented to us on social media this week. I think we've only got three or four unless you come into the chat. Like I said, facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns, YouTube @tapoutsandtouchdowns. Leave a comment in the chat. You want us to pick somebody before the end of the show. Pedro coming back in. Rookie quarterback might have some magic. He might tell homeboy just to throw him the ball. I'm assuming he's talking about Aiden O'Connell for the Raiders.
He's not a rookie.
Yeah, he is.
But Aiden O'Connell, are you sure?
He's a 100%.
Oh, I thought he wasn't a rookie.
100% no. We're going to have to name the segment at some point, but let's go to the social media questions here. Pedro, since he's all been all over the chat tonight, we're going to go to his question first. Which defense do you start, the Eagles or the Cowboys, on that NFC East divisional matchup? Bill, if you want, I can take this and you can tell me whether or not you're agreeing with me.
Okay, continue.
The Cowboys are giving up the fifth fewest points to defenses or to opposing offenses. The Eagles are giving up the eighth. The highest score the Eagles defensive special teams have put up this season in the tap outs and touchdowns fantasy league scoring system has been 12. I believe they have one defensive special teams touchdown. The Cowboys have five defensive special teams touchdowns on the season and have more points in the double-digit fantasy point bracket than not. They have four games where they've scored double-digit fantasy points, has the Cowboys defense, three that they have not. I'm rolling with the Cowboys defense. I know the Eagles are a better team, but I like starting the Cowboys defense in fantasy this week. Bill, what say you?
I say you're wrong again, Ryan. I think I start the Eagles defense. They're at home. This is a dangerous game for the Cowboys. They know what they have to do, and when that happens, Dak Prescott throws the ball to the wrong team a lot. And so I think the Eagles defense is a better start this week. I think the Eagles has a better offense too. So I think it's really dangerous to start the Cowboys defense. Cowboys defense did that when they had Diggs healthy. Diggs isn't there anymore. That was their best corner. He's not there anymore.
We have given Pedro no help with this question.
I think, Pedro, remember this. I'm whooping everyone in my leagues. Whooping.
Yeah, he says the rivalry game is a head scratcher. So
it is, that's one of those pick-ems. And my rule, every time there's a pick-em, if you can't decide, you go with the home team.
Well, you take one of our advice.
They get the help of the crowd, man. It's the energy.
Do want to know who you go with. And I want to know if the person you went with wins. I want to know who you went with and how it worked out.
I say Eagles. I think Eagles are the better play.
And he thinks the NFC East is on the line with this game. All right, let's go to the next one. Volley Polly's been in the chat a good bit tonight. He wants to know Chuba Hubbard or Najee Harris. Bill, if you've got any thoughts on it, I'll hear him. I wrote some stuff down for this one too.
I feel like Chuba Hubbard is a flex play, maybe. I still think Najee Harris is a player you start. I don't love Chuba Hubbard. I actually picked up Chuba Hubbard in one of my leagues. I've already dropped him.
So I'm going to pull a not so fast on you, Bill.
Okay.
Chuba Hubbard had a bad day against the Texans, averaged 1.9 yards a carry. But he has a much more favorable matchup this week against the Colts, who I think we talked about earlier, had really bad rushing defense. And Chuba Hubbard's officially the starter in Carolina. He's got a better season yards per carry.
Yeah, but
last week
still
he dominated.
It's still a platoon. They're still going to play Miles Sanders.
No, Miles Sanders had two carries last week for 0 yards. They're not platooning. Chuba Hubbard is the lead back of his offense. Yeah.
Okay.
Najee Harris, however, is in a true timeshare at running back in Pittsburgh. He has one touchdown all season, and he had seven carries. You talk about a platoon. This is a platoon. He had seven carries last week. And now he gets the Tennessee Titans defense, allowing the seventh fewest points. Is it ninth? I had seventh.
I have seventh out of our league. I don't know.
Allowing the seventh fewest points, whatever, seventh or ninth fewest points to running backs. I'm rolling with Hubbard. This is a no-brainer for me. If you have to start one of these guys, you're starting Chuba Hubbard. Let's go to one more. Aaron Thompson, former guest of the show, three-time picker here on the show. Wants to know Trey McBride or Cole Kmet. If you don't know who Trey McBride is, he is the tight end for the Arizona Cardinals now that Zach Ertz is hurt. Yep. Cole Kmet, tight end for the Chicago Bears. Bill, you love Trey McBride.
I do like Trey McBride. Yeah. He's a good player. I think he's had 2 weeks in a row now that he scored double digits in points, and he was on ESPN's list of players to go find this week and pick up. He was picked up in both leagues that I'm in this week because he exploded last week. And I think he is a solid start. The only thing I'm concerned with that team, even when I went to try to pick him up, and yes, I put in a waiver for him and did not get him. They don't have their quarterback situation is odd. They are starting Clayton Tune this week. He is a rookie out of Houston. They don't know what they're going to get from him. And they just traded away Josh Dobbs, the guy that's been throwing him the ball. So we'll find out, but Cole Kmet, he's got Tyson Bagent throwing him the ball. And if you feel comfortable about that, you should stop thinking about football.
You mean Ted Nugent?
About things like flop. Yes, Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent? Okay.
He had a great game last week, didn't he? After that good game decent game the first week, and then, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, listen.
Crash and burn last week. So we'll see, but I don't feel good about Kmet for that reason.
Yeah, I'm rolling with McBride, too. He caught 10 of 14 targets from 95 yards and a score last week. Now he's given up. Now he's going to Cleveland. He's giving up the fewest points to tight ends. Whereas if you go Cole Kmet, 10 of 10 targets last week for 79 yards, doesn't get a much better matchup against the Saints, ranked fifth against tight ends. When it comes to an offense, I think I trust McBride. I mean, there's not a chance that Kyler Murray starts this week.
There is a chance that, I mean, he's still rehabbing that the injury, right? So they said
they activated him. He's been fully practicing, from my understanding.
Well, from what I read, Clayton Tune's supposed to be the starter this week.
Oh, so. I do want to throw it out here in the chat real quick. Volley Polly throwing some dirt on you. Bill gave you bad advice in regards to
who was the other player that was the opposite, though. I don't even know what a lobby.
I'd have to go back and look. We talked about it a little bit in the show. When it comes to Uncle Greg comes in the Facebook chat, you'll know him as Paul Hankins if you see him on Facebook. He just said Josh Dobbs to Minnesota. I'm guessing he wanted the impact of Josh Dobbs in Minnesota. I think you're going to see a decrease in both Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson when he comes back. I don't think you're going to get that same production out of these two guys. I mean, I think that's basically it. Those are the two guys, if you had in Minnesota, you were more than likely you're probably getting away with starting Kirk Cousins. But Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson are the only two other Vikings that you were starting with confidence. And I don't think you can confidently start them going forward. You're going to have to to see what Dobbs can do. But I'm not confident starting either of them going forward until we see what Dobbs can do in Minnesota.
No, I had to look, Ryan. Olave scored 9.6 last week. Paulie throwing me unnecessary shade. That's actually not that bad. If you have 10 players on your team and 9.6 is good enough to win you games, you're picking wrong.
He's giving you a hard time. He's saying,
unnecessary shade. Good Thank game. You, Paulie. That was
good game. All right, folks. We are towards the end of the show, and it is my favorite part of the show, and that is Homer's Corner. If you did not pay attention to social media this past week, or if you haven't been playing, if you are not familiar with the way this show goes, the fact that I have an entirely different show here with a guy named PJ Steven, we talk pro wrestling. We had Banker Bill on a show where we got to sort of introduce him and educate him a little bit on wrestling and crossovers with football and wrestling. And we told Bill, all you got to do is come to a wrestling show and see it for yourself and make an accurate assumption. So what do? I score Banker Bill a ticket to Monday Night Raw live in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Despite the seventh circle of hell, as Bill so eloquently put it for the first 45 minutes of the show. Listen, I'm all for letting kids enjoy themselves and get excited, but it was the worst I've ever dealt with in any sort of
venue. I think my left ear is still damaged.
My ear ached after
long-term hearing damage from the little girl that was sitting next to me.
I mean, it wasn't that they were screaming too loud when people were having fun. They were screaming when there was no need to be screaming.
It was more like squealing.
Yeah, squealing, screeching.
I mean, this girl was screaming at the top of her lungs, like the highest octave she could possibly get to, as loud as she could possibly get to at 8 years old, right here. Her parents said, good one, honey. Or that was a good one. Not be quiet. You're hurting that guy's ears. Yeah. It was when I got swung at and almost got hit and I had to duck from her hitting my face that her mom finally said, oh, calm down, sweetie.
In fairness, the kid next to me was screaming so bad that like it was a quiet moment in the show where like they were supposed to be cutting promos in the ring and I couldn't hear them in the ring. And I had to look over to her and politely say, listen, I'm sorry, I can't hear what they're saying. And she switched seats with me, so he got to annoy somebody else the rest of the show. A couple comments in the real quick. Pedro said Dobbs can't even buy his own jersey in Arizona. He's talking about AEW being on TV right now and Cena wasn't there, so Bill, you got lucky with John Cena not being there. Bill, the floor is yours, man. I want you to explain to the audience how your first experience at a live professional wrestling show went.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what I told. I enjoyed it. It was fun. I had fun. I did not have any expectations, but I also thought, honestly, going into it, I couldn't decide if I wanted to go. Ryan's like, hey, we get a chance to go here. And I had said to him a long time ago, hey, if you ever find tickets for $20, I'll go. $20. I'll pay $20 to go to a wrestling show, nothing more. And it was less than that. So Ryan's like, hey, you want to go? And I was like, no, but now I have to live up to my word. So I didn't want to go. And I swear to you, I sat for most of the show like this. So I'm, crossed this way. But it was me taking everything in. And by the end of the show, I was clapping. I was enjoying it. I was having fun. He was geeking out. He was so excited. He was like, oh, I'm so excited. You're having a good time. It was a good time. It was really fun. I told Ryan, I get it now. I never realized. I always thought that wrestling was like boxing, where people, you didn't want to lose a match, and you had these people that were never going to win ever. They came in, you know, in tights, and they just would be terrible, and you knew they weren't going to beat Triple H, you know, that kind of thing. And I thought that was ridiculous that they would just throw these people out there and just to get their butts kicked. And so I didn't like it. So I didn't understand, and I feel kind of foolish for this. And honestly, I'm an older guy now, and I never understood what I was ever not liking, which is terrible. I never thought of it as a production, as a, we'll call it a play, theater. A theater production. Yeah, I never really thought that that's all it is. That's all it is. The whole thing is just a big work. It's, they're just, you know, it's they're fooling you the entire time. That's all they're doing. And I never thought of it that way. And now I'm interested. Now I told Ryan, I said, when is, because there's, you know, the Crown Jewel
premium live
on
event Saturday. Crown Jewel,
Saudi
yep.
Arabia.
You even got the name right.
Saudi Arabia. Yeah, of course I did.
Look at this.
But the Crown Jewel is on Saturday, and you've got guys fighting that I'm interested to see who wins these. I don't want to say fighting. They're
match.
Dancing
yeah,
with each
yeah,
other.
They're matches.
Flipping around. It was crazy. But yeah, these matches that I want to see who wins. I do want to see if Cody Rhodes wins his match. He won't. But yeah, I'm interested now.
Pedro wants to know, Bill, what did you think of the promos that the wrestlers cut?
I thought they were fantastic. I thought that was probably the best part of the show. There was they did a promo with, was it McIntyre?
Drew McIntyre. That was, so to be clear, Drew McIntyre, he wasn't there, but there was a promo that was on the Tron.
Yeah.
That was what Bill watched. And after that promo, there were two things.
I don't know why.
Yeah, there were.
I don't
two
know why
that,
it was then, but
yeah,
that's
but that
why
was
I
what
I
was
like. I think I get this now. Like, yeah.
Bill looked over at me and he said, "Okay, Ryan, I get it now."
Yeah,
and that's when you're like, "Wait, when is this show? Saturday?" I said, "Oh man, I'm gonna be at the races, but I want to know who wins."
Yeah.
Even said Seth Rollins cut his promo and he looks at me. He's like, "This guy's really likable," and I had to give him the bad news about how Seth Rollins is in real life.
Is this guy likable? Do you like people like him because they were singing his. His song is terrible, but it's, you know, whatever. Yeah.
It's bad. Hot dog water.
But
it's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. But people were, you know, chanting it. Exactly. It's theater, Pedro. I didn't ever really truly understand that. And I mean, it was fun. It was actually really fun. I thought to myself, I left the show and I go, would I do that if Ryan said, would I go back? If Ryan said, hey, there's another one tomorrow. You want to go? I go, yeah, I do. I want to see it again. So will I pay $70 for it? No. But I would watch it again, and I'll stick to my $20, maybe 30, maybe a little more. But it was fun. It was a good time.
Next.
I too much energy. So I've always said that sports, a lot of things about sports is the crowd. The crowd really gets you into it and things like that. And I think the USFL is a perfect example of that. It's still football. There's still football being played. But if there's nobody yelling for the teams, it's pretty boring. It's just kind of like, it's kind of just falls flat. The energy in that place was so insane that you couldn't, as a sports fan, go, I don't like this. This is dumb. So at the end, and there was a point when Cody Rhodes came out at the end, the American Nightmare, and comes around at the end, and Ryan knew it was going to happen. So yes, this is the thing. It's like it's theater. So he's like, this is what they're going to do because it'd be awesome. And so he says, this place is right before it happened. He goes, this place is about to explode. And so it did. He comes running out, flying out. He's running towards the ring. And Ryan's like cheering, like, woo, you know, and I didn't say a word, but it went crazy. So I was just like, this is awesome. Like, it was just like, this is so cool. Like everybody, 12,000 people are going nuts. I mean, you can't enjoy that as a sports fan. So it was cool. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, easily. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not, you know, putting this up for the show. Easily a top 5 to top 10 moment of my life. Like being able to take someone to wrestling who was a skeptic, naysayer. And, you know, halfway through the show, you look over and say, I get it now. And now you want to know who wins on Saturday. If McIntyre can beat Rollins, you want to know if Cody can beat Priest. Like you know, it's not like you're going to be able to watch Raw every Monday. Because you asked me, so you watch this every week? I'm like, well, I put it on the DVR, but I don't really fast forward through a lot of stuff. And in fairness, you were getting, you sort of popped for a couple of the matches too. Like the Creed brothers took on Alpha Academy.
Yeah.
And they put Otis, the 300-pound dude, on the dude's shoulders.
Yes.
And hit the move.
And stood up. Like, oh, that was the other dude. But yeah, stood up. I mean, it was crazy stuff that they were doing.
He stood up
when he was carrying him. Yes, nuts.
Yeah.
Nuts.
The
athleticism was beyond. There was somebody who was the
Ricochet.
Guy at the beginning? No, Ricochet was cool. But the guy at the beginning that jumped and he was darn near as high as we were up in the stands.
You're talking Akira Tozawa on main event. Yeah. Akira Tozawa incredible. Took on Cedric Alexander.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, like that's just injury stuff right there. Like, don't land like that. I go, oh, and I thought, oh, his tailbone. Here I am, you know, old guy. No, that would kill me. It was good. I liked it.
Let's see. Pedro, I'm with you, man. This makes me happy hearing this. Mm. I've taken friends to show. They loved it. Yes.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah, that's cool.
Legitimately, like I even, so we called PJ Steven after the show.
Yeah.
Told him about it. He was excited. My buddy Jordan, shout out to Baxley. He's the one that got the tickets. He asked me the next day how it was. I told him about it. He said, oh, you've created a new mark, as wrestling lingo.
I'm going to pay attention. I want to see who wins the Crown Jewel events this weekend.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I'm a Cody Rhodes fan now. I looked at Ryan and go, does everybody like that guy? And you're like, oh yeah, he's a babyface. And yes, I know that term now.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm still giddy about him.
And I'm like, okay, cool, because he seems likable. And he was on the Dale Jr. podcast too. Thing is, I like theater. So my wife and I went to a play not long ago, one of the local theaters here, to see just a play, like a production. I like musicals. I hate to say that. Some people think that's crazy, but I like that kind of stuff. So when I realized it was just theater and you're just watching, you know, live action theater, I was like, this isn't that bad. This is just actors acting and they're athletic, so they jump on each other a bit. But other than that, it's just acting. And so they're playing characters and things like that. And even if you stink and you lose all the time, like Ryan said, you have to pay your dues. Like, you might win at some point. You know, they might elevate you to being a person that wins. So now I'm like, okay, this is way more interesting than I thought it was. So
it's legitimately top 5 to top 10 moment of my life. Being able to convert someone who, like,
I am not converted, but I'm less of a skeptic. I wouldn't call myself a fan, but I am interested.
The idea that, like, you were so like, oh, wrestling's dumb. How do you like that stuff? You watched it on TV and you couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it in a new light.
I am seeing even the stuff that I said before that I was like, this is dumb. Now I want to go back and watch it because I want to see what storyline they were promoting, even though it was like, ooh, that wasn't a good move. That was kind of dumb. I get what you're saying now when you're like, oh, but the match, even the way they act during the match is also part of the storyline and like the way that they're, you know, creating the character and all that stuff. Now I get all that. And so all the stuff that I've watched before that I thought was dumb, I'm like, that wasn't as dumb as I thought. So yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pedro, you're right. He can be a casual fan.
It's
a lot of guys don't watch wrestling. Yeah, a lot of guys don't watch wrestling.
However, people need to take care of their kids.
Let's finish with that. That's the biggest takeaway from the show. I want a screenshot because I saw my face as I made it. Yeah, don't let your kids run around like monsters. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways from the show as well. Bill, this has been a fun show. Thanks to everybody who was a part of it. Everybody who joined in the chat, Alex Mims, your daughter came in and gave Katie came in and gave like to the stream. Benjamin,
say hi.
Your Uncle Gary was in here, didn't say anything.
Didn't say hi.
Yeah. From the Tap House and Touch, the Tobacco Road Sports Radio fame. Desmond Johnson was in here. Thanks to Ryan Lupino for coming in and doing picks. Thanks for Pedro for being all over the chat. This has been a phenomenal show. Remember, you go and like and subscribe, whatever it is that you're getting this podcast, and to make sure you reach out to us on social media throughout the week so we can actually present and talk about the guys that you will have questions about for fantasy football going forward. Next week, we should have another wrestling episode with PJ Steven and I as Crown Jewel takes place it will be this coming Saturday. We should be reviewing that show. Make sure you go and catch the Cash Cave over on the Keep Pounding Podcast Network, where Shannon Smith and I talked the Carolina Panthers first win on the season and how we feel about the potential of them making the miraculous comeback going forward. And then more football talk next week with your guy Bully Rye and Banker Bill. And we're also next week we're going to talk a little bit about we're approaching the trade deadline in fantasy football now, so potentially some guys that you might be willing to unload and depending on your roster, maybe some guys that you want to go out and target. So stay tuned for that next week on the football show. But that's it for us this week. For Banker Bill, it's your guy Bully Rye, and we'll see you next time right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.